yung inawit natin exactly expresses what I intend we feel sa pag-aaral natin ng mga doktrinang ito ay huwag lamang tayo matuto ng doktrina, huwag lamang tayo maging matalas sa ating pangunawa, kundi mamangha tayo sa biyaya ng Diyos na pinag-aaralan natin through this so-called five points of Calvinism. Nakita natin even last month sa pag-aaral natin ng kasaysayan na the reason why there are the five points is because the Arminians, yung grupo ng mga tagasunod ni Jacobus Arminius or James Arminius, ay ito ang pinrotesta nilang mga puntos. Before that, it was simply the mainstream belief of the evangelical churches. Pero after it was raised as protest, yung tinatawag na remonstrance, ay nagkaroon na ng conscious defense of the five points. At para mabigyan to ng memorable na retention sa pag-iisip, tang akmang-akma naman na ito'y nag-umpisa sa Netherlands at meron silang national flower doon na tulip. So, yun ang naging acronym na siya naman natin pinag-aaralan ngayon. Nakuha na natin, napag-aralan na natin so far, the T stands for total depravity. At yan ay sinasabi yung extent ng effect ng kasalanan sa tao ay hindi lamang katiting, hindi lamang isang bahagi, kundi lahat ng bahagi ng pagkatao natin ay apektado ng kasalanan. So we are not saying that all men are equally sinful by degrees. May mga degree ng kasalanan, masasabi natin yung iba ay mas makasalanan kaysa sa iba, pero ang kasalanan ay apektado lahat ng bahagi ng pagkatao natin. There is no part of our humanity that has been spared from the effects of sin. Yan ang total depravity. Kung kaya nga kasama na yung hindi tayo makapag-initiate, hindi tayo makapagsariling kalooban pagdating sa usapin ng Ebanghelyo. It takes God. Even in the initiative of it, it takes God. And we see that in the letter U, which stands for unconditional election. Even in eternity, sinasabi natin, it was God who conceived of the plan. Kung ilalagay natin to sa bracket ng time and experience, even before that, which is of course in the dimension of eternity, God already made a plan. So, dyan pumapasok ang election. Ephesians 1:4 makes it clear, before the foundation of the world, God has chosen us. So, mahirap tanggapin yan para sa iba, pero para sa isang tumatanggap ng kanyang total depravity, ng kanyang pagkamakasalanan, ay this is grace. God's purpose in election is grace. And in time, pagdating na nung takdang panahon, isinugo niya ang Panginoon na Hesukristo. So, dyan pumapasok ang atonement. This is within the bracket. And because the atonement is in pursuit of the aim of God, the intention of God, therefore Christ died for those whom God has chosen. At yan ang tinatawag na limited atonement. But as I explained last week, medyo misleading yung salitang limited atonement precisely because everybody, all evangelicals, limit the atonement one way or the other. Either you limit the extent but believe in its total power, or you universalize the extent, which is what the Arminians choose. You universalize the extent but limit the power. Sa atin, we would rather believe in the power of the cross of Christ to save all that it intended to save rather than limit the power just to universalize the extent. Kaya ang L stands for limited atonement, but as I said, I prefer particular redemption. Pero mawawala na yung tulip kapag yun ang ipilit natin, pero I still prefer particular redemption. We come now to the fourth, which is the letter I. Again, the term itself is problematic. At ipapaliwanag ko, I stands for irresistible grace. Dito na yan sa ating experience. So, sa time, history, atonement. Christ died on the cross and his death is for the purpose of fulfilling what God purposed in election. Kanyang tinupad ang nilayo ng Diyos sa kanyang paghihirang, yun ang atonement. Pero paano natin ito nararanasan? Paano ito napapasa atin? Alam natin hindi tayo maliligtas malibang tayo ay tumugon sa Ebanghelyo ng Panginoong Hesukristo. At diyan po papasok ang usapin ng irresistible grace. But as you can see, I prefer effectual calling, mabisang pagtawag, and let me explain why. And the reason is because yung term na irresistible grace often leads to confusion na para bang one is forced against his will. Pag sinabi mong isang bagay irresistible, para bang naririnig natin yung expression na yung irresistible force against an immovable wall. Parang pag nagbungguan, ang point ay it proves irresistible because something against it natalo. Nagkakaroon ng ganyang kalituhan ng ibig sabihin ng irresistible grace ay ayaw ng isang tao na maligtas against his will, pero pinwersa siya, parang sinabi ng Panginoon, kahit ayaw mo, maligtas ka dapat. Hindi ganun ang ibig sabihin nun. Kaya it leads to confusion, so I prefer the term effectual calling rather than irresistible grace. Ang punto rito ay, yes, there can be resistance to the offer of salvation. And for a time, we resist. Some of you perhaps resisted grace for some time. Dumaan ako sa conviction of sin ng mahabang panahon. I made a profession of faith at a young age. And even then, I could sense that that profession of faith wasn't true. And masasabing ilang taon na I struggled until it became a fierce struggle for 2 years that I was a Bible student. And until the point that nag-respond ako sa gospel in its true sense, but there was resistance. And maari sa iyong karanasan, may panahon na ikaw ay lumaban sa paanyaya ng ebanghelyo. So we are not here talking of unresisted grace. We are talking of irresistible grace. Ibig sabihin, in time, it will prove that our resistance will give way to the grace of God. So yan ang tinutukoy natin sa irresistible grace. Ngayon, anong pagkakaiba nito na tinatawag nating effectual calling? Sinasabi natin na ang panawagan ng Diyos ay magiging mabisa, kagaya ng ang Panginoong Diyos ang humirang ng kanyang ililigtas para sa kanila na matay ang Panginoong Hesukristo. Ngayon, sa takdang panahon ng karanasan natin, ay tatawagin tayo ng Diyos at ang pagtawag na yon ay magiging mabisang pagtawag at tayo ay tutugon. Now, the Arminians do not accept that. They understand calling to mean a universal call to all, universal invitation. So in that sense, God calls, but it is up to the sinner na magpasya kung siya ay tutugon o hindi. So in that sense, everybody is called, but only believers will prove na yung calling na yon ay magiging mabisa sa kanila. So yan yung kanilang paniniwala. Well, there is a problem sa ganyang paniniwala for the simple reason that the title call, the called ones, is limited to those who ultimately are saved. Ibig sabihin, limitado yung titulo na yung taguri na tinawag, inililimita ng Biblia, ng Bagong Tipan, doon lamang sa ultimately are saved. So, in other words, it does not apply to those who ultimately will not be saved. Maliwanag yan sa head verse ng inyong handout, Romans 8:29 and 30, sinabi na, those whom God has predestined, they He called. And those whom He called, they He justified. Sa mga tuwid, yung called, yung mga tinawag, ay yaon lamang mga itinakda ng Diyos. Predestined. Nilimita sa kanila at sila lamang ang tinawag. Kung ang calling ay paanyaya sa lahat at ang magdidistinguish lang ay kung sino yung tumugon, well, the title called should apply to all. Di ba? Kung lahat ay tinawag, hindi pwedeng yung mga mananampalataya lamang ultimately ang siyang mga tinawag. And so, yan ang mangyayari dito. Yung taguring tinawag, ina-apply lang ng Bagong Tipan sa mga ultimately maliligtas. If that is the case, that means those who are not saved, ultimately, were not called. And therefore, only the called ones are those who ultimately are saved. At may isa pang problema yung ganyang Arminian scheme na ang tinawag ng Diyos ay ang lahat, pero yung magkakabisa lamang doon sa tutugon, it will mean that man's will has the power to frustrate God's intention. Again, babalik tayo dun sa atonement na nililimit yung power just to universalize. E ganito rin ang nangyayari sa calling in the Arminian scheme. They try to universalize it, but in the process, they are saying, perhaps without meaning it, they are saying that man's will has the power to frustrate God's will. And the loob ng Diyos na tawagin sa kaligtasan, pero nasa tao, ng kalooban ng tao ang pwedeng biguin ang layunin ng Diyos. And again, that is unacceptable. Kung tinawag ng Panginoon, magkakaroon ng bisa. So yan yung pagkakaiba ng ating doktrina ng panawagan ng Diyos doon sa sinasabi ng mga Arminians. So later on, may makikita tayong there is a sense na calling applies to others who are not saved, but in quite another sense, not in this saving sense of the called one. So tingnan natin itong effectual calling. Unang-una, sino ang tumatawag? The author of the call. Well, una, not the preacher. May ibang tawag na ginagawa sa pangangaral ng Ebanghelyo, as we shall see in a while. But calling does not apply to the preaching of the word by the preacher. He is making a call, but that's not effectual calling. Eh, hindi ito tumutukoy rin sa tayo pag tayo'y nangangaral o tayo'y nagpapatotoo o nagba-Bible study, nagwi-witness o nag-evangelize, gumagawa rin tayo ng sarili nating call. Pag tinawag natin sila, manampalataya ka sa Panginoon, it's a call, it's an invitation, but that's not what we're talking about, effectual calling. Hindi yan yung effectual calling. Now, may isa pa na mahalaga sa theology. Yung effectual calling, ina-attribute ng bagong tipan, hindi rin sa anak. It's not Christ who is calling. And not primarily the Holy Spirit. Now, dito, magkakaroon ng kalituhan. Kaya, medyo papaliwanag natin. Sa mga Reformed confessions, nagkaroon ng theological confusion itong call at itong regeneration o kapanganakang muli. In many Reformed confessions, napag-isa nila itong calling and regeneration, dyan nagkakaroon ng kalituhan kung kaya't nai-apply yung calling sa ginagawa ng Holy Spirit and regeneration. But to be theologically precise, magkaiba po iyan. Itong call ay nag-a-apply sa gospel ginagawang mabisa para sa sinner. Itong regeneration ay nangyayari sa sinner, binibigyan ng Holy Spirit ng kakayahan para tumugon sa Ebanghelyo. So, you notice here, what's happening here is in regeneration, the Holy Spirit. Maliwanag naman yan sa sinabi ng Panginoon kay Nicodemus. Kinakailangan kang ipanganak na muli ng Espiritu. So regeneration is the work of the Holy Spirit. Binibigyan tayo ng kakayahan na tumugon. Kung hindi tayo gawa ng Espiritu, hindi tayo makakatugon sa Ebanghelyo. Pero yun namang Ebanghelyo, habang pinapangaral natin at hindi kumikilos ang Diyos sa Ebanghelyo, wala rin siyang saysay, walang bisa. Kaya makikita natin, God is working on both sides. He is working on the message to make it effective. And that's the effectual call na tinatawag natin. Pero God is also working upon the sinner so that he could respond. He could have the enabling to respond. Yan ang regeneration. Yan ang Holy Spirit. Pero yung call, mahalaga ito, is the work of the Father. Everywhere in the New Testament ay ina-attribute ito sa gawa ng Ama. Ang Ama ang tumatawag sa atin. The Father is the one calling. Diyan sa text natin ng Romans 8:30, maliwanag na yan. And then Acts 2:39, dun sa sermon ni Peter on the day of Pentecost, anong sabi niya? For the promise is unto you and to your children, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. So lahat daw ng tatanggap ng pangako ng kaligtasan ay yung mga mananampalataya doon sa pangangaral ni Pedro, sa kanilang mga lahat ng tatawagin ng Panginoon nating Diyos na tumutukoy sa Ama. And again, everywhere, it is the Father's work. Now, maaaring sabihin nyo, why do we need to be so precise about that? What's the difference if we say it's Christ or it's the Holy Spirit? Well, precisely, that's what the Bible teaches. We need to accept that carefully. Pero, meron pang isang dahilan. madalas kasi nangyayari, iniisip ng iba, ang ginawa lang ng Ama ay eternity. At pagkatapos pinaubaya na niya sa anak at sa Holy Spirit, lahat ng mangyayari in history, in time, and human experience. Now, this teaching reminds us, no, the Father is very much involved even in the application of salvation. So the Father here in eternity, and at the very first application of what God planned, the Father is the first one to move. The Father first in the eternal plan, the Father first in actual experience. Which means, both in thinking of your salvation as God's plan or application, you always think of God the Father. Laging naka-orient sa, dahil sa plano ng Diyos, at ngayon dahil sa kilos ng Diyos, siya ang naging aking Ama. And this is so, this is a very precious truth, na ang orientation natin is to think of God as our Father who planned it and who applies it initially. Sa initial application, ang Ama pa rin. Kaya mag-ingat tayo dun sa walang maingat na pag-iisip ng Trinidad when it comes to salvation. Sa lahat ng bagay ng buhay Kristiyano, merong struktura ng pagka-Trinidad ng Diyos. Kahit pa sa pag tayo nananalangin tayo normally sa Ama sa pamamagitan ng Anak sa kapangyarihan ng Espiritu. Mag-ingat tayo sa masyadong diin sa Espiritu. Alam nyo, kapag napunta kayo sa isang meeting at maya't-maya ang naririnig nyo ay ang Holy Spirit ang tinatawag, it sounds spiritual, but it's dangerous. Because that's not the normal structure of the New Testament. Sa normal structure ng New Testament, kahit sa panalangin, nananalangin ka sa Ama, sa pamamagitan ng Anak, ayon sa kapangyarihang bigay ng Espiritu. And that's how it is in salvation. Sa salvation, una pa rin ang Ama, sa pamamagitan ng Anak, at sa kakayahang ibinigay ng Espiritu. Ganito ito. So, kailan natin naranasan ng kaligtasan, nang tayo'y tawagin ng Diyos, at tayo tumugon kay Kristo, pero kaya tayo nakatugon, ay dahil sa gawa sa atin, nagbibigay kapangyarihan sa atin ng banal na Espiritu. That's the reason why it's important to precisely attribute the call to the Father. Magkaroon ka ng appreciation sa iyong Ama na Diyos, na siya ang nauna na nagplano at ngayon siya ang nauna na nag-apply in the plan and in the application ay ang Panginoon, ang Panginoong Diyos na Ama natin, ang siyang pinaka-nauna. So the Father's role should be duly recognized and appreciated. Now, the nature of the call. Ano ba itong uri? Anong nangyari nung tayo ay tawagin? Paano natin ito nararanasan? Well, dalawang bagay. Una, it is an immediate act of God. Ginagamit ko yung salitang immediate to differentiate it from mediate. Immediate means it's God who is actually calling us to wiran. Now later, we will see that God is using instrument, but it is not the instrument who effectually calls. It is God who effectually calls directly the sinner. May tuwiran na pagtawag. At yung tuwiran na pagtawag ngayon, ibig sabihin, instantaneous. Yung pagkatawag sa atin, agaran, once we are called, the transition is instantaneous. Halimbawa, yung sinabi ng 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we are called from darkness to marvelous light. Ibig sabihin, once the call comes directly to the sinner, it's immediately from darkness to light. And then also, 1 Thessalonians 2:12, ang sinabi niya, into His kingdom and glory. Once the call comes, instantaneously, we are transitioned into, we are translated into His kingdom and glory. Again, theologically, why are we careful to say that this is immediate? Because nag-iingat tayo na huwag mahulog doon sa kinalaban ng evangelical theology on salvation, yung kabaligtaran niyan sa Roman Catholic theology ay yung tinatawag na sacramentalism. Ano itong sacramentalism? Ang sacramentalism ay nagsasabi na ang biyaya ay dumarating sa atin sa pamamagitan ng mga sakramento. Kaya diyan papasok yung kailangan mo ng pari. Para mapatawad ang kasalanan mo, kailangan mo magkumpisal, kailangan mo ng paglilinis sa pamamagitan ng misa at iba't iba pang mga bagay. It's wrong theologically, it's wrong in terms of actual experience, pero meron pang isang practical na bunga itong sacramentalismo. Alam niyo bang kaya tayo nahawakan ng napakatagal na panahon ng Espanya ay dahil sa takot na tanggalin ang mga pari. E pag tinanggal ang mga pari, eh yung pari lang ang may kakayahang mag-transform nung tinapay sa misa na maging katawan ni Kristo. Eh hindi ka raw mapapatawad, hindi talagang malilinis ang kasalanan mo kung hindi ito maging katawan ni Kristo. Eh hindi ito magiging katawan ni Kristo malibang basbasan ng pari. Eh ito yung naging panakot nila na pag hindi kayo nagpasakop sa amin, tanggalin namin lahat ng mga pari. Ito rin ang dahilan na ang pinaka naging ugat ng himagsika ng Pilipinas ay nung magpilit na magkaroon ng mga paring Pilipino. Nung sila ay ibabang uri, eh di ba dyan nagsimula yung binhi kay Jose Rizal na kinonceive niya yung Noli Mi Tangere. Kaya merong interest sa kasaysayan yung sacramentalismo. But of course, our interest is more than in terms of social, kundi spiritual. Paano ba talaga tayo nakakarating sa Diyos? Hindi sa sakramento, hindi pari o ano pa mang mga seremonya, kundi immediate, tuwiran. And when God works on the sinner, the effect is immediate, instantaneous, from darkness to marvelous light. And then from being immediate, it is supernatural. And by supernatural, it means again, it is not affected by any natural means. It is by God's power. So ibig sabihin, hindi ito kaya ng sarili lang natin. Hindi ito resolve of the will. Ito ay God's work. Kaya yung mga salitang ginamit tungkol sa call ay mga salitang patungkol sa Diyos. It is a high calling. It is a heavenly calling. It is a holy calling. Na tumutukoy sa kaninong gawa ang pagtawag sa atin ay Diyos lamang. And because it is God, the effect is certain and absolute. Ibig sabihin, who God calls, it is efficacious. Kaya tinatawag natin na effectual calling. It will not fail. Once the call comes, again, nasa head text natin yan, whom He called, this He also justified. Kapag talagang tinawag, mangyayari ang mga dapat mangyari, hindi papalya. Kaya nga hindi pwede yung Arminian scheme na ang pagtawag ay para sa lahat, bahala na ang makasalanan kung sino ang maiiba. Hindi pwedeng ang makasalanan ang nagpaiba. Ang nagpaiba ay ang Diyos mismo. Gawa niya ito instantaneous, immediate, and now supernatural. Which means that the ultimate credit for every conversion belongs to God's grace alone. May isang practical na kahulugan nito, implikasyon. We do not measure one's response to a by a particular form. Yung tugon sa Ebanghelyo, hindi natin pwedeng limitahan sa isang uri ng anyo. Anong ibig ko sabihin? Ito ang delikado sa tinatawag nating decisionism, na yung response ay naidugtong na sa isang uri ng response. Like raising the hand, coming forward. O naalala ko nung ako'y active sa Campus Crusade for Christ when I was a young college student in UP Diliman. Ang laging training sa amin ay dalhin mo sa PRC. Ano yung PRC? Pray to Receive Christ. So, yan daw ang response. Para masabing nanampalataya, dapat makarating dun sa praying to receive Christ, which is decisionism. And you see, the danger of that is naidugtong ang tugon sa Ebanghelyo sa isang uri na panlabas na response. And too many, and I'm telling you what I have experienced for many, many years, many of them think they are Christians because of their external response. Sabihin mo, pati ka naniniwalang Kristiyano ka, ang sasabihin nila, nag-forward ako, o nagtaas ako ng kamay, o nag-ulit ako ng panalangin. At yung iba sa kanila, nakalagay pa sa Biblia nila yung date ng kanilang supposed decision, o ayan ang date. And their assurance is dependent on that date or on a raising of the hand or on following a dictated prayer. And I think that's a woeful and a very shallow basis of assurance. Kapag tumawag ang Diyos, huwag nating iugnay sa uri ng panlabas na response. Some may be able to identify the very time that they responded to the gospel. I can. But for many others, their response to the gospel is imperceptible. Ibig sabihin, hindi nila mapunto at what point na sila'y naging mananampalataya. Hindi natin pwede i-dismiss yun because it is God's supernatural and God's work of calling which we can never identify with an external response. So may mga marami kang makikilala at siguro kasama ka roon, kabilang ka doon sa alam mong at a certain point, mananampalataya ka na pero hindi mo ma-pinpoint at what date, in what occasion, basta alam mo na lang mananampalataya ka. And we cannot dismiss that. Kaya nga to identify God's calling to an external response is wrong. Ang mahalaga ay ano ang resulta kapag tumawag na ang Diyos? Well, dyan tayo darating sa the result of the call is salvation blessings. Kung saan tumawag ang Diyos, ang magiging resulta ay mga pagpapala ng kaligtasan. Again, our head text makes that clear. Those whom He called, He also justified. And whom He justified, this He also glorified. O tingnan nyo sa 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages begun. So pinag-ugnay yung saving and calling. When God calls, the result of the call is that we are saved. And it is in this light that calling can sometimes be associated with the obligations that follow. You see, yung obligations of being saved. Kaya you were called to a holy conduct. Eh, yun ang resulta na ng, dahil nung tinawag ka, naligtas ka, eh tinawag ka sa mga obligasyong kaugnay ng kaligtasan kasama na yung mga kapwa mo tinawag. When you are called, you are not called alone. You are called together with other called ones, so you form a fellowship. Eh, hindi maari yung soloista na conversion. When a person is converted, he is converted with a calling together with other called ones. So may fellowship. Kaya isang ibig sabihin po niya, napakahalaga. Ito'y nakalagay sa 2 Peter 1 and verse 10. Ang sabi ron ay, make your calling and election sure. Pansinin niyo yung order. When it comes to our salvation, the first consciousness is our experience. And only then, we deduce about God's eternal plan. Hindi mo maaring malaman ito kaagad na hindi mo muna ito malalaman. So, ganyan din nung magtatanong sino ang elect. Ay, hindi natin alam kung sino ang elect. Ang masasabi natin, sino ang converted. And by knowing who are the converted ones, then we can say, if they are truly converted ones, they are God's elect. Yan ang sinabi ni Paul sa 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Knowing your election, sabi niya, and how did Paul know their election? because our gospel came to you in power and the Holy Spirit. Kaya paano natin malalaman yung election? Not directly. Daraan tayo sa knowing that God called us to salvation. So yun yung mga naligtas. Ngayon, one practical result nito, one practical companion, dito napapasok yung ating pagtawag ng kaligtasan. The vital companion of effectual calling is the external call of the gospel. So dito na merong confluence o pag-uugnayan na yes, the Father calls, pero the Father calls using the gospel. At dyan napapasok yung the human instrument. Yan man ay sa preaching, soul winning, Bible study, o parental guidance. Eh, yan ang mga ginagamit ng Panginoon. Kaya the vital companion of effectual calling under normal circumstances is the external call of the gospel. So makikita natin yan sa maraming pagkakataon sa Bagong Tipan. Acts 16:14, God opened Lydia's heart so that she took heed to Paul's preaching. So magkasama yung may ginawa ang Diyos sa kanya, pero yung ginagawa ng Diyos sa kanya ay nakita sa pagtugon niya sa pangangaral ni Apostol Pablo ng Ebanghelyo. And then tingnan niyo sa 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. Umpisa natin sa verse 13 dahil makikita natin yung pag-uugnayan dito ng election. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you, so that's election, as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Now verse 14, to this He called you through our gospel. So may tinutukoy siya rito mga kaligtasan, salvation blessings. And now Paul says, paano natin nakamtan yung mga salvation blessings na yon? To this He called you, pero anong sinabing kasunod? By our gospel. So that's effectual calling, pero the vital companion is external calling. Kaya isang ibig sabihin yan ay hindi tayo magpapabaya sa ating pangangaral, pag-iebanghelyo, dahil ito ang kasangkapan ng Diyos. Hindi tayo pwedeng magwalang bahala. Sabihin na, eh, Diyos pala ang tumatawag. Hintayin na lang nating tawagin niya. Tatawagin niya na ang kinakasangkapan ay yung ating pangangaral. Yung ating pagpapatotoo, hindi natin ito maaring pabayaan. So, three things to say about this external call. Unang-una, this call is universal. So, hindi na ito tumutukoy sa effectual call na limited to the elect. The external call is something we can extend to all. Dahil tinatawag naman talaga ang lahat in terms of the offer of the gospel. Dapat maniwala tayo doon. At sino mang kausap ko ngayon, pwede kong sabihin sa iyo ng harapan na tinatawag ka ng ebanghelyo, tinatawag ka na manampalataya sa Panginoong Hesukristo para ka maligtas. Acts 17:30, God commands all men everywhere to repent. So, basta't ang kaharap mo'y tao, kahit saang lugar, so all men everywhere, pwede mo sabihin sa kanya, God is calling you to repent. Hindi lang universal, it is individual, pang-isahan. Hindi lang sa handa mong tawagin yung isang grupo na lumapit sa Panginoon, kundi sa isahang kausap, pwede mong sabihan ng isang tao, tinatawag ka ng Diyos na manampalataya sa Kanya. So, yung sinabi ni Paul, every creature and every man. Yan ang dapat nating kumbinsihin sa sarili natin. Which means, thirdly, our invitation will be sincere. Pag sinabing sincere, huwag kang merong isip sa likuran mo. Sa likod ng isip mo, nandun yung duda, elect kaya ito o hindi. Huwag mo itanong yun. Kausap mo yung makasalanan, yan ang issue. At dahil ang kausap mo yung makasalanan, maari mong sabihin sa kanya, tinatawag ka ng ebanghelyong manampalataya sa Panginoong Hesus. Again, I can talk to anyone here on an individual basis. Sa isaan, sasabihin ko sa iyo na tinatawag ka ng Panginoon na manampalataya sa Kanya. At hindi ko lilituhin yung sarili ko na kung ikaw ba'y elect o hindi, it doesn't matter. therefore, 2 points of application. Demonstrate sincerity and passion for the salvation of each sinner. Lalo yung mga naaabot mo, lalo na yung mga mahal mo sa buhay. Ibig sabihin nito ay magsisikap ka at mananalangin ka para sa kanila. Alam nyo ba sa Romans 9-11, ang pinakamatitinding mga pangungusap tungkol sa sovereignty of God in salvation? Yung election, nandyan lahat. And yet in the middle of that, anong sabi ni Paul, Romans 10:1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Can you imagine, katuturo lang niya ng sovereignty of God, kasasabi lang niya in chapter 9 verse 6, they are not all Israel who are of Israel. And yet right after that he says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. So pwede mong gamitin yan para sa mga mahal mo sa buhay. Sabihin mo talaga na my heart's desire for my parents, for my children, for my siblings, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. Demonstrate sincerity and passion for the salvation of sinners. And second, the effectiveness of our external call, however, lies in the effectual calling of God. So kung sila nga'y talagang maliligtas, hindi yan sa galing mo. Hindi yan sa passion mo. Hindi yan sa sinseridad mo. Kung talagang maliligtas sila, anong sabi ni Pablo, 1 Corinthians 3:5, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So, nagsikap kami, pero ako man ang nagtanim, si Apollos ang nagdilig, subalit ang bunga ay ang Diyos ang nagbigay. It will give you humility. It will give you no sense of superiority to others. Itong isang bagay na kailangan labanan ng mga mangangaral na kumisa, nagkukumpara sa isa't isa, sinong magaling, walang ganyan. Kung tayo yung mangangaral, mangaral tayo in the best way we can, but the fruit is the Lord's. The credit belongs to God. So sanang application nito sa atin ay, kung ganitong paniniwala natin, let this doctrine be a compelling motive for faithful evangelism. May mga nagsasabi na yung ganyang doktrina magpapalamig sa loob natin para sa misyon. Well, my answer to that is, look at history. Sino yung mga nagpursige ng misyon, the first ones sa kasaysayan na talagang nagpursige? Si William Carey, tinatawag na father of modern missions. Nagpunta siya sa India. At hindi katulad ng ngayon, maluluwag na para sa mga missionaries. Ang mga missionaries ngayon, pag nagpunta sa ibang lugar, napakadali ng suporta, electronic transfer, andyan na yung support nila. Si William Carey ay naghirap dahil hindi agad dumarating yung suporta para sa kanya. Barko ang pagdaraanan ng ilang linggo, minsan ilang buwan na paglalakbay. Hindi lang yun, mga missionaries ngayon ay merong arrangement ng regular furlough o vacation back to their homeland. When Carey left England, he never returned again. He labored all his life and died in Serampore, India, and made a lot of accomplishments, not just for the church, but for the society of India. But William Carey believed in tulip. So it is not true, yung objection na kapag naniwala ako riyan, manlalamig sa misyon. If that is the effect on you, something is wrong with your application. The application of this doctrine should be to all the more compel us to be zealous in our evangelistic witness. Any question? Anything you like to clarify? Raise your hand, nasa ng ating microphone. Questions, thoughts, or maybe something you want to share, how this doctrine has been meaningful to you. Yes, Choi.
Pastor, gusto ko lang malinawan na, although nabanggit nyo na ito kanina, kailan ba sinasabing ang isang, o ang kapangyarihan ng Diyos sa isang sinner ay ito nga ay kailan siya nagiging high calling, holy calling, or nagiging heavenly calling? Na sinasabi rito.
Well, it's all that. In every calling of God na gawin niya sa isang makasalanan, it's always a high calling, it's always a holy calling, it's always a heavenly calling. Pinag-iba-iba lang sa mga context na yan based on what the readers needed to be reminded of dun sa particular na konteksto ng mga ginamit na teksto yan. So para dun sa Philippians, para maunawaan nila na ang kanilang panawagan ay isang panawagan na mataas na uri, yun ang sinabi ni Pablo. But every calling of God, ay lahat yan ay totoo. Yes, ma'am.
Pastor, sabi po kasi ang result ng calling is, one of the basis po is yung fellowship with believers.
Yes.
You attend church, right? What can we say about those believers or professing Christians or Christians who do not have fellowship for a long, long time, but they are still professing their Christians?
Well, first, if they really responded to the true gospel, we will not question their Christian profession. I think it's always wrong to begin with doubting one's profession kung ang issue ay gospel. But having said that, being in fellowship with believers in a church context is one of the requirements for Christian experience and Christian growth. Maliwanag yan sa Ephesians 4 at ganyan naman ang nangyari sa mga Kristiyano sa Book of Acts. So in other words, there is something woefully inadequate in a kind of Christianity that is professed which is not accompanied by Christian fellowship. So hindi natin, for my part, I will not question immediately one's profession of faith, but I would be prepared to say there is something woefully inadequate in a professed faith that is not accompanied by Christian fellowship in the context of a local church. Sa Ephesians chapter 4, napakaliwanag po doon nung sinabi na yung pag-ascend ng Panginoon sa kanyang luklukan has His very eyes upon the church. And the church not just in its universal dimension, kundi the church in its locality. Kaya kung pinapahalagahan natin ang pagkakaluklok ng Panginoon bilang hari, then pahalagahan natin yung kanyang pinapahalagahan, which is the local church.
So it's a question on semantic. May magkakaiba po ba ang meaning o ng effective calling or and effectual calling? Mababago ba ang meaning ng effectual calling if you will use effective calling?
Effective is used more for ginagamit siyan sa effective preaching, effective ministry, effective witness in terms of the human instrumentality. So in theology, to distinguish that what God does will have a sure effect, ang ginamit na salita in theology is effectual or efficacious, to distinguish it from what the human instrumentality seeks to be. We all seek to be effective, pero it's not absolutely effectual. Whereas in the case of God's call, it is always absolutely effectual. Kaya yun ang pagdi-distinguish ng effectual and effective. So in every preaching, I seek to prepare something that's effective. As I preach and see some closed eyes, I can see it's not effectual. So I try to be effective, but I know I'm not always effectual. But when God calls, it will always be effectual. So that's the best way I can distinguish that. John, ihagis mo. Di ba liya, huwag nang mag-mic.
Prayer, pero mag-pray
Okay, thank you. That's a good question. Now, liliwanagin ko, hindi ko sinasabing huwag tayo mag-pray kay Christ o huwag tayo mag-pray sa Holy Spirit. Of course, we can pray to Christ directly and we can pray to the Holy Spirit directly, and I do. But ang sinabi ko kanina, ang ginamit kong salita ay normal, under normal structure of prayer, it will be directed to the Father by the mediation of the Son through the enabling of the Holy Spirit. So yan yung normal structure ng prayer, which means that kung manalangin man sa Holy Spirit or directly to Christ, it should not be the normal course of action. Now, there are times when we feel directly to be in communion with Christ, especially during Lord's Supper, and you want to address Him directly, that's good. Gawin natin yun. Let's practice it. Pero in a church that is, let's say, gathered in an assembly of prayer and worship, the normal course and the normal structure should be a prayer directed to the Father. So kung punta ka sa isang fellowship na nagpe-pray sa Holy Spirit, can you pray along with them? Sure, certainly. We should. But kung palaging ganun, hindi na normal yon. Kapag palaging ganun na ang Holy Spirit ang ina-address every meeting na lang, the predominant structure is direct address to the Holy Spirit, it's not normal. And therefore, kung ako yon, I will seek to reform. Kung hindi ma-reform, then I will find other groups. Other questions? Ani?
Pastor, kailan po natin malalaman kung tinatawag tayo? At halimbawa po may naging instrument na tao, ano? Kailan natin malalaman kung siya ay instrument nga talaga ni Lord or may ibang ano? Ibang pinanggagalingan na may ibang agenda sila.
Well, ito yung kaya nga ang vital partner, vital companion ng the Father's effectual call is itong external call. So kapag naririnig mo itong human instrument, the issue is not him but the gospel. Kumbaga doon ka tinatawag. Our consciousness of responding should be responding to the gospel, not to the preacher or to the human witness. Maaring siya yung instrument, pero hindi mo itatanong siya na nga ba. Kundi ang itatanong mo ay, ito ba ang talagang ebanghelyo? So the issue is the message. Doon ka nagre-respond sa gospel. And when you respond to the gospel, then you know God called you. So we will not be occupied with the issue of yung human instrument. In fact, may sinabi si Paul sa Philippians 1 na may mga nangangaral na mali ang motive. Yet, ang sabi niya, I rejoice that Christ is preached. So tama pa rin ang mensahe nila. Mali ang motive nila, mananagot sila sa Diyos sa kanilang motibo, pero yung para sa nakikinig, ang issue ay yung mensahe. So the issue therefore na itanong natin ay, is the message the true gospel? And if it is the true gospel, I must respond and not be anxious. Hindi natin itatanong kung tama ba yung motive ng human instrument.
Pastor, question is, can grace be abused or exploited? Kasi I've seen a lot of Christians, you know? And I also heard, hindi naman hindi naman sinasabi na nagbi-build up ng concept about grace or abused grace. Pero the context is parang tinitake advantage ng maraming Kristiyano yung kayamanan ng biyaya ng Diyos. Meaning, hindi na kailangan mag-confess sa kasalanan nila. Having that knowledge na patatawarin naman ako ng Panginoon eh. So, what is your view on this? Kung yung grace is na-abuse or na-exploit?
Well, maganda yung point. The question strikes at the very heart of the issue of grace because for some, para wag ma-abuse yung grace, nauwilis sila sa legalism. And yet others, sa kanilang paniniwala sa grace, nauwi sa tinatawag na license. And both are addressed by Paul in Galatians 5. In Galatians 5, verse 1, sabi niya, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm therefore and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So nagbababala siya rin sa, ngayong nalaman nyo ang grace, it gives you liberty, huwag na kayong pailalim pa sa legalism. So that's one warning. But then, a few verses later, the warning takes a different note. Verse 13, for you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So this time, yung warning naman ay gagamitin yung freedom, yung free grace, ay gagamitin for life that is without any submission to the Lordship of Christ. Basta sabihin nila, biyaya naman, na tinanggap ako ayon sa biyaya. So, hindi bali na kung anong uri ng buhay ang ipamuhay ko, that will be the abuse of grace in terms of license. And both are wrong. So, legalism is wrong, but license because of grace is also wrong. And in fact, dito nga papasok yung ganda ng effectual calling. Ang sinasabi natin dito, where God calls to His grace, there will be a change that transpires in the individual call. So, yan ang magiging pagsubok na kung talagang ang Diyos ang tumawag sa kanya, ay mabisa ang pagtawag ng Diyos, including yung magiging pagbabago sa kanyang buhay na mangyayari sa isang mananampalataya. So, neither legalism nor license. Are questions?
Although hindi ko naabutan yung dalawang Sunday, pero ang tanong ko, Pastor, ay ito bang tulip or itong Calvinism, lalo na irreversible grace, ma-apply ba natin ito sa ibang issue sa buhay natin, like being a pastor ba, being a missionary, or kahit sa estudyante, ito ata yung course calling kong maging ganito, maging ganyan, or ito mapapangasawa ko, mag-asawa ko. Ma-apply ba natin to sa ibang aspect ng buhay natin aside from salvation?
Remember that the root, yung pinakaugat ng Calvinism is the sovereignty of God. And the sovereignty of God means that things happen according to His will while making us responsible to Him. Eh, yung dalawang issue na yan, sovereignty and responsibility, ay napakahalagang mga bagay sa lahat ng desisyon. Hindi lang desisyon sa pagkapastor, pagkamisyonary, kundi mga usapin na may kinalaman sa ating mga pang-araw-araw na mga desisyon when it comes to career choices, partner choices, etc. Ay, lahat yan papasok doon sa usapin ng both God's sovereignty and human responsibility. Therefore, anong mga practical na mga virtues na ini-encourage ng Calvinism? Things like contentment, things like acceptance of one's lot that you cannot change, something beyond your control. Mamaya sa Ecclesiastes, meron tayong bahagi na babanggitin tungkol dyan. Pero this is so practical, yung maniwala ka sa sovereignty of God at nalagay ka sa isang sitwasyon na hindi mo mabago because it's beyond your control, yet you can accept it as part of God's sovereign will. Therefore, you can have contentment in it. Oh, yung sasabihin ng iba ay para bang nalalagay tayo sa pagiging robot na lang. Isipin niyo to. Would it be any more comforting? Mas comforting bang isipin na walang sovereign control? Mangyayari pa rin sa iyo yung mga bagay na hindi mo makontrol. Only this time, ang tingin mo ay accident sa lahat. Is it more comforting? Is it not more comforting na nangyayari sa iyo mga hindi mo makontrol, yet behind it is the sovereign God? I can lay more contentment doon sa point na may mga nangyayari sa akin na hindi ko gusto at hindi ko kailangan na magpilit na may kapangyarihan ako. Hindi ko kailangan sumubo ng bato at sumigaw ng darna. Kundi tanggapin kung hindi ko kaya, pero sa likuran nun ay ang soberanong Diyos. It's a very practical thing to me. as a preacher, and I'm sure to you, whatever your calling is, you should find it a very practical thing. Hindi ito theology lamang, kundi a practical thing to realize that what happens to me beyond my control, behind it, is the sovereign God. Melvin.
Gusto ko lang po magpasalamat sa Panginoon at nagkaroon ng ganitong serye. Kung para sa ilan, ito ay naulit na lang. Sa akin ay malaking blessing to. Ang question ko po ay, may irelasyon po ba yung effectual calling sa Matthew 28 verse 19?
Yung make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son. Well, yung making disciples doon ay sa external calling. External call. Dahil yan ang pinapagawa sa atin. Kaya yung mandate sa church, make disciples, has to do with evangelism, mission, and church planting. Yung mga yan ay bahagi ng external call. Pero sino yung magre-respond? Ito yung sa effectual calling. So, yung external call ng missionary mandate ng Matthew 28:19-20 ay external call, pero yung bunga noon ay bunga ng effectual call of God. At salamat sa sinabi mo, Melvin, na nakakawala ng pagod. Other thoughts? Any last thoughts? Yes, Choi.
Pastor, medyo malayo ata ito itatanong ko, pero okay, I just want to clear pa rin na sa newspaper kasi may lumalabas na parang tatlong aspirant na tumakbong presidential ball. Alam natin may pagtawag nga sa kanila na different eras ni si God. Pero you have mentioned before na just and competent pa rin ang siya mong sinasabi even in your write-ups. Ano yung nagpupush sa kanila? Bakit nagpupumilit tumakbo? And bakit nga ba? Well,
unang-una, huwag mo ako himukin. Hindi ako makukumbinsi. Kung anong nagpipilit sa kanila, hindi ko alam. Of course, you need to ask them. But this is what I'm going to say, especially dun sa isa na kinikilala kong evangelical yung kanyang pananampalataya. Dun sa dalawa, yung isa'y pare, yung isa'y mga ngaral din ng Roman Catholic Church, I don't consider them evangelicals, they have to answer for themselves. But for that evangelical person na nag-try na noong 2004 at natalo, I'm not against one trying the political career. Pero it's a choice. Kung ikaw'y mangaral ka para sa kaharian ng Diyos, at tinawag ka doon at ang sabi ng Biblia para sa mga nangangaral, 1 Corinthians 9:14, those who preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Ngayon, kung gusto mo ng politika, iwanan mo ang pangangaral. At try to be a good one in politics, well, pero kung pagsasabayin mo, I believe that to be wrong. So, kung gusto mong either, piliin mo kung saan ka tinawag ng Diyos, pero hindi mo pwede pagsabayin. Ang isang nakalulungkot dyan ay yung dinadala niya, dinadrag niya ang pangalan ng Diyos sa kanyang plataforma. You cannot politicize the gospel. You cannot make the gospel your platform. Because politics is society common grace. So what you need in society is justice. Tell me your competence, tell me your platform in terms of justice, but don't tell me that you're going to go into politics with the gospel as your platform because that is to distort, that is to compromise the gospel. So either way, something is wrong. Na ang isang mangangaral pupunta sa politika at daladala niya at dinadrag niya yung ebanghelyo bilang kanyang political platform. It cheapens the gospel, it cheapens the ministry, and it has no answer to our social political problems. So, if he runs again, I will do the same thing I did last 2004. Won't vote for him. He doesn't have my vote. Follow up? Jomel.
Ano, ako against talaga ako sa kanya, kasi sinasabi ko kay Choi, natalo na nga siya.
andyan na naman siya. Tapos sa unang-unang anuhin niya, kasi kinagamit niya rin yung about God. Tapos sabi ko, unang-una, matatalo siya uli kasi hindi united yung Christian sa kanyang binabala. We belong to a Christian community, no? Tapos anong gagawin natin? Kasi parang dalawa yung may parang conflict of interest sa kanya kasi I believe ginagamit niya rin yung tama yung nasabi niyo kanina na naapektuhan yung other Christian community kasi yung ganyang ginagawa. Kasi dati, spiritual advisor siya. Now, hindi na siya spiritual advisor dahil sa kanyang ano gagawin natin para sabihin sa ibang Kristiyano, especially sa kanyang na grupo na tama ba yung kanyang ginagawa?
Well, I already said what I believe sa kanyang ginagawa. I wrote a booklet on that subject with the title, Do We Need a Christian President? And it's out of print now, pero pag malapit na uli election, I'll try to have a reprint of that. At doon ay sinabi ko na yung aking paniniwala na hindi natin kailangan ng Kristiyano para sa pagkapangulo. Ang kailangan natin ay isang matuwid at matino at magaling na tao. So yung taong just, competent, and with skills sa kanyang political platform. Hindi ebanghelyo ang panagot sa lipunan bilang political institution. The gospel is what we need for the salvation of man. Pero ang tinutukoy rito ay pag-ibahin natin yung remedial and redemptive. The church is here for redemptive purposes. But political institutions like the government and others, as well as compassion ministries of the church, are there for remedial purposes. So what we need is not a messiah. What we need is a just man in government. So yung tumakbo siyang nakaraang 2004, inilagay sa konsensya ng mga Kristiyano, tungkulin mong iboto siya, kapwa mo siya Kristiyano. And never be convinced of that. Again, like I said, he doesn't have my vote for that reason. So sana tingnan natin itong mga bagay na ito. Hindi pa nagtatapos dito yung ating pag-aaral sa Tulip. Katandaan ninyo, apat na puntos pa lamang yan, may ikalima. I will be in Kalawag next Sunday, so I won't be here. There are important duties to do sa Kalawag. But as I explained, yung P ay mas tututukan nga natin, yung Perseverance of the Saints. We will use the month of September just for that series on Perseverance of the Saints. So I'll be seeing you sa lesson na yan ng first Sunday of September. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, tunay nga na pinapasalamatan ka namin sa kamangha-manghang biyaya na iyong pinlano at ngayon ay isinasakatuparan. At sa pamamagitan ng doktrinang ito ay napapaalala sa amin na mula sa pagplano at sa pagsasakatuparan, ikaw aming Diyos Ama ang siyang unang kumilos. At ang aming Panginoong Hesukristo sa pamamagitan ng kanyang kamatayan ang siyang naging tagapamagitan namin. At sa pamamagitan ng Banal na Espiritu ang nagbigay sa amin ng kakayahang tumugon. Ngunit naway pahalagahan namin ang katotohanan na ikaw ang tumawag sa amin. At ang pagtawag mo ay tunay na mabisa, gawin mong ang katotohanan ito ay magpasigasig sa aming lalo sa pagpapatotoo sa Ebanghelyo. Nakapaligid sa amin ang mga mahal namin sa buhay na maaring hindi pa nakaririnig ng Ebanghelyo at maaring kami ang naghihintay na tinig sa probidensya upang kanilang maunawaan ang Ebanghelyo. Tulungan mong magninga sa aming puso ang tunay na pagmamahal sa kanila upang abutin namin sila ng iyong salita, subalit magkakaroon lamang ng bisa ito kung sila iyong tawagin. Kaya't muli naming ibinabalik sa iyo ang aming taus-pusong pasasalamat at muli pagkamangha at pagpupuri sa iyong dakilang biyaya. Sa pangalan ng Panginoong Hesukristo, ito ang aming panalangin. Amen.